Welcome to Reflections on Buddhism on 90.7 FM, KSQD Santa Cruz. Reflections on Buddhism is a monthly radio show with Buddhist teacher Tenzin Chokyi that bridges the worlds of Buddhist thought and the latest research into positive psychology. I'm your host, Matthew Tavares, and each month we'll select a topic where we can weave together Buddhist wisdom with the science of mind, and then apply these concepts to everyday life in a practical way. Welcome, Tenzin.
Thank you, Matthew. Good to see you.
So today we thought we would talk about joy, and it feels like a very timely subject in the sense that I think we could all do with a deep dive into joy at the moment, given the state of the world. And sort of for me, the first thing that came to mind, you know, in this topic is we don't think of joy and religion typically going together, or even joy and spirituality necessarily going together, because we think about the spiritual path, at least in my experience, as sometimes in a heavy way as being this very serious undertaking. And yet it isn't necessarily so if we take the time to understand the major faith traditions. Can you maybe speak a little bit about the role of joy on the spiritual path?
Yeah, this is something that I've been thinking about and really investigating for myself for quite some time. And I think, you know, it kind of goes back to when I started really delving into Buddhism seriously, practicing seriously, which really started in a year that I spent in Nepal and India. I'd been interested in Buddhism for a long time, but like a deep dive in a year and a half that I spent in India and Nepal in the early 90s. And studying and then coming back and like working in Buddhist centers. And, you know, several years into my practice, a really close friend very kindly pointed out to me that my practice and my life didn't feel very joyful to her. She felt like I wasn't really kind of taking delight in the practice. And I remember being kind of shocked and almost thinking, well, why is it supposed to be joyful? What do you mean? You know, but she just goes, you don't really seem so happy. It doesn't seem so joyful. And so I think I was so shocked by her critique and realized she was really right. And I was bringing this attitude to my practice, which I see so many other people doing. And then I started really investigating kind of where does this attitude come from? And it's exactly what you said. We don't really feel that the spiritual path, it's kind of serious business, and we approach it as sort of serious business. And then there's also a deeper strain that I've seen, especially in kind of Protestant United States, for example, also seen it in other countries that are influenced a lot by the Protestant tradition. And I've been investigating a little bit. I remember a couple of years ago, I used to teach before COVID these yearly interfaith retreats that you've attended several with a friend of mine who is a Lutheran pastor, Pastor Steve Harms, and then a Jewish faith leader, Rabbi Diane Elliott. And I remember once we were having this conversation during one of the interfaith retreats, and I said something about, you know, I really blame John Calvin. And then I turned to Pastor Steve and I said, I'm not a Christian theologian. Like, I don't know if that's actually accurate. And he just looked at me and said, well, you're not wrong, you know? And so I was investigating a little bit, like, you know, where does this come from? And I wanted to read a quote from John Calvin. So the French theologian and one of the founders of several Protestant traditions, he was part of the whole Protestant Reformation, and the founder of a couple of traditions, including the Presbyterian tradition. And so he, you know, this is kind of where it comes from for us, and we're influenced by this. And in one of his writings, he said, it is impossible that men should mildly bend the neck to bear calamities and reproaches so long as they think that patience is at variance with a happy life. The only consolation which mitigates and even sweetens the bitterness of the cross and of all afflictions is the conviction that we are happy in the midst of miseries, For our patience is blessed by the Lord and will soon be followed by a happy result. Those who would follow Christ must learn the philosophy of placing their happiness beyond the world and above the affections of the flesh. And so this sort of message of almost being suspicious of any kind of happiness, because it's seen as the antithesis to the holy life. And so I think we get this. I wasn't really raised necessarily Protestant, even though both of my parents were, but we didn't go to church. But I think through osmosis, we almost get this message that if you're too joyful, it's somehow not virtuous, that virtue is, as John Calvin says, like just bearing with the miseries patiently for the reward in the life beyond in heaven. And I noticed bringing this attitude, and I think a lot of students do, to our Buddhist practice too. And of course, this is also, you know, reinforced by what you'll read in a lot of Buddhist scriptures too, that it's all about creating the good karma for the next life, you know, for happiness in the next life. And there's also a suspicion of happiness and sort of worldly pleasure in this life, and it's all about pleasure in the next life. But I think what we're missing out with all of this is the pleasure that comes from our spiritual practice, and that we can take delight and have joy in our spiritual practice too. It's almost like a false dichotomy that pleasure can only be found by like carnal enjoyment of the senses. And then we have to sort of stoically and miserably bear up to all of the hardships of life, you know, for the world beyond. Like, what about the joy that we take in benefiting others? What about the joy that we take in our spiritual path? And this is the part that's in between the false dichotomy that I love to teach and talk about, because I think that's the answer to this. And it's interesting, this sort of stoic attitude that we bring to our spiritual practice. And I sometimes joke that a lot of my Tibetan teachers, I remember going to these elderly Tibetan lamas and, you know, being kind of miserable and like pushing really hard and like pushing with my practice and having this attitude of like practicing hard to become a better person and just striving to become like different than who I was. And my teachers would just look at me like, what are you doing? You seem so miserable. Like, the whole point is about being happy. You know? So I love just investigating this whole question of this overlay that I think comes from our majority Protestant culture and just whatever our own inner psychology that we engage in the spiritual path to become somebody different than who we are. And we're striving so hard to transform because we really don't even accept or like very much